The message you are about to hear is brought to you by Terry Moore. And now, Mr. Moore.
I want to tell you a story about Jimmy. Jimmy was a young man of average stature. He had grown up in a middle-class suburb just on the outskirts of a city in a semi-religious family. In school, Jimmy was an average student, passing most of his classes with satisfactory grades. And the reason he didn't excel in his studies was not because Jimmy was not smart, but because he never really put out much effort, at least not the kind of effort that Jimmy was capable of. After high school, he began working at various jobs, but didn't hold any of them very long. And it wasn't that he didn't have the skills necessary for the position, but he just didn't dedicate himself to much of anything. One night after getting fired from yet another job, Jimmy and his dad got into a very heated argument. Some harsh words were exchanged, a few profanities. His father yelled at Jimmy, saying how worthless he had turned out to be and how he was never going to amount to anything. Jimmy stormed through the living room, and as he was walking out the front door, he turned around and with tears in his eyes, he yelled at his father, "I'll show you. I will be somebody. I'll show you." Days went by. It turned into weeks and then months. Jimmy's parents never heard a word from him. No letter, no phone call, nothing. Then after about 6 months, a postcard came in the mail. It was from Jimmy, and it was postmarked Paris Island, South Carolina. And it said this, "Dear Mom and Dad, I know we have had our differences over the years, and I know that I haven't turned out to be much of anything. But I want you to know that I have just graduated from boot camp here in South Carolina, and am now a United States Marine. I'm scheduled to leave for Iraq in 4 weeks. I hope that I can make you proud of me as I go to defend the values of our great country." Signed, Jimmy. After arriving in Iraq, Jimmy was sent to a hotbed of insurgent activity in Fallujah. It was a very bumpy ride that night, as they headed for an area of the city that U.S. forces were trying to secure. As Jimmy stepped out of the Humvee and started to walk over to the command center, that's when the gunfire began. Bullets flew past him as guns blasted left and right. It sounded like someone was lighting off whole packages of fireworks all at once. Several explosions lit up the street as rocket-propelled grenades landed near his platoon. As Jimmy went for cover, he looked to his left, and he saw his boot camp buddy, Sean, get sprayed with bullets across his face and chest. Jimmy then panicked. Nothing he had experienced in all his life had prepared him for this moment. Not school, not church, not the jobs, not the arguments at home, not even the 4 months at boot camp had prepared Jimmy for this. As his blood pressure skyrocketed, Jimmy's heart quickly pumped adrenaline throughout his entire body. And then Jimmy leapt up and he fled the scene. He had no idea it was going to be like this. He was terrified and he ran away from the battle. There is a fundamental physiologic response that forms the foundation of an individual's physical survival, and it's known as the fight or flight response. This is our body's automatic inborn response that prepares us to either fight or to flee from perceived harm, from an attack, from something that we believe is a threat to us. When we experience stress, confrontation, a threat, whether mental or physical, our body reacts in a way that prepares us to fight or to flee, hence the term fight or flight. Now, this response is actually hardwired into our brains, and it seems to be a way to protect us from perceived harm. When our fight or flight response is activated, sequences of nerve cell fire, and this releases chemicals like adrenaline, noradrenaline, and cortisol into the bloodstream. And these events cause our body to undergo some dramatic changes. Our respiratory rate increases, blood is pumped from our digestive system into our muscles and to our limbs, our pupils dilate, our sight sharpens, our impulses quicken, even our perception of pain diminishes. We then become prepared physically and psychologically to fight or to flee. For the most part, in our everyday lives, we have no real threat to our physical survival, at least the lives that you and I live here today. But this does not seem to stop the activation of our fight or flight response. Anger, frustration, yelling, and lashing out at others can all be related to this response. Now, as Christians trying to overcome the self and trying to overcome Satan and the world, we see attacks coming from many different places. Because we are human and the carnal mind is enmity with God, we also many times see God's correction to us as a threat. And this is my focus for the message today. What do we do when we are confronted by God? What is our response as He works with us to create a new being? Do we fight for right? Or do we see Him as a threat and cave in to the pressure of sin? Let's turn over to Jonah in chapter 1. Jonah in chapter 1. A very important point to understand in all of this is that God is striving to fulfill His purpose in you and I. And He influences situations in our life so that we are confronted with overcoming selfish desire, overcoming the old man, and self-preservation, if you will. Now, He manipulates and even sets up predicaments in our lives so that we have to make a choice. God's plan for mankind is being implemented every day as He shows those who He has called their faults, our weak areas. And upon so doing, we are given the chance to fight against the old man and this world and make the right moves. And at the same time, we do also have the option of giving in to sin, of resisting and fleeing from these lessons. Denial, not accepting when we are wrong, caving into sin. This is flight from the situation. This is running away from God. The question I have for us today is, when we are confronted with a God-given lesson and given the chance to learn something of great value about ourselves, do we listen? Do we make the right moves? Do we overcome sin and strengthen our weaknesses? Do we stand up and fight against the wiles of the devil for righteousness' sake? Or do we resist, striving to protect our old man, striving to shield our personal desires and thoughts? This fight or flight response's primary motivating factor is fear. Fear generates these chemicals that rush into our bloodstream. This fear brings us to a point of either wrestling or resisting. This happened to many of people that God has called in the past. You know, the disciples told Christ that they would not leave Him. They would never leave Him. But when the guards came to seize Him in Gethsemane, they ran. The Israelites were given power and strength by God. And then when faced with giants, they fled. The prophet Jonah was one confronted with such a situation. He was given instructions by God to face the enemy and to call them to repentance. It was a holy mission. It was handed down by God Himself, and Jonah was to carry this out personally. Let's look at the account here in Jonah in chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He did not do as God had instructed him. He went down to Joppa instead and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go to Tarshish on the ship to flee from the presence of the Lord. And so, God called Jonah to deliver a message, a stern, a loud, a righteous message to the great city of Nineveh. Now, this message was an obvious warning of coming doom and destruction. And this was because of Nineveh's great wickedness. But upon delivering this message, it would require that Jonah not only warn the people, but give them some instruction on how to change their ways, or else they would perish. And Jonah did not want this job. He didn't want to do it. Jonah was allowing his personal feelings to influence his response. And Jonah's response was not to fight against evil for righteousness' sake, but instead to flee from the battle and to resist God. Jonah did not want these people to repent. He did not want them to change. He would rather they continue their wickedness and that God would destroy them. That's what Jonah wanted. Why did he feel such hatred and desire such a thing, you might ask? Well, it's because Jonah knew that Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. This was a nation that had already taken much of Israel's land and had killed many people. Now, Jonah also knew the prophecy in which Assyria was to conquer Israel completely. Assyria was, in Jonah's mind, already in the process of exterminating the Israelites, Jonah's own people. And so it seems a typical and an understandable response to flee from delivering such a message that would save his believed enemy. But God saw this differently, and he was not asking Jonah to do something that would bring the nation of Israel down. The nation of Israel was going to fall regardless, but she was going to fall because of her own evil and her wickedness, not by the repentance of Assyria. God was giving Jonah a lesson here, as well as fulfilling a future prophecy. He was telling Jonah to do something that would ironically help Israel. It could help them, and it could help himself. If Assyria repents and changes, what a great example to the people of Israel. If these heathen Gentile people can change and do a righteous act, why can't we? In addition, if Nineveh had a change of heart, perhaps their conquest of Israel would lessen and in fact stop. And it did for a number of years after their repentance, as history shows. However, Jonah did not see any of this. All he was considering was his own thoughts and desires, and he wanted them to perish. He wanted them to suffer. He didn't want this righteous burden on his shoulders. This agitated Jonah. It made him uncomfortable. And instead of fighting his personal feelings and doing as God had instructed him, Jonah chose flight. He chose to flee from the situation. Now, does this sound like any of us? Can we see ourselves doing the same kind of thing today? Fleeing, resisting God's influence, and even his instruction through the Word. Are we sometimes given direct insight into life's complex web of woes, not only seeing the reasons behind them, but how to break free and how to fight sin? And instead of choosing to fight, we cave in. We flee from the promptings of the Holy Spirit because they threaten us. They threaten our old man and they threaten our selfish desires. When this occurs, we often end up in a more difficult predicament. More or far worse troubles can occur because of our resistance to God. And this was the case with Jonah. As Jonah fled, God brought a worse situation upon him, a storm upon the sea of the ship that he was sailing on. Let's look at this in verse 4 of chapter 1. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. So Jonah was about to be confronted with a far worse situation than he could have expected if he would have followed God and went to Nineveh. Would he have listened to God and did as he was instructed, it would have been well for him. But he instead chose to flee. And God then brought about a storm upon the sea, and it threatened the ship and the lives of everyone on board. In verse 5 it says, Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." In the midst of turmoil, Jonah was fast asleep down below. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it would be very hard to sleep through a storm that was threatening to break apart the ship that I was sailing on. So why did he sleep? How could he sleep? Well, the answer is not factually known in the scriptures. I would like to suggest something. I believe that Jonah's deep sleep in the midst of such turmoil is a sign of his depression about the situation. Jonah's flight had put him in a difficult position with God. Jonah knew this, and he wanted to shut it out. He wanted to turn it off, shut his mind down so that he could have some sense of peace. This does happen to some people who are deeply depressed and are having difficulties in their lives. Sleep is a form of escape. People like this are very tired. They just want to rest. They just want to go to sleep. Their speech is often kind of listless. They don't want to have to think about their problems and their woes. But isn't this a light like us? We are called by God, and we are shown our sins and our weaknesses, and even instructed what to do. Many times we resist this instruction, and we flee. We flee from God, and we cave in and give in to sin. And when this takes place, we often find ourselves in far worse situations. But we try to ignore the fact that these storms of our lives might be coming from God and our disobedience. We wonder, why is this happening to me? What am I doing wrong? And we are asleep. We are numb to the fact that this is happening because we are fleeing from God. Now, this is not the only reason for trouble in our lives. I don't want us to get the wrong impression. There is a certain amount of time and chance involved. Additionally, trials can occur as we mature spiritually and we are ready to be taken to another level by God. However, we cannot ignore the fact that rejecting God's way can be a reason for a tempest to come upon us. Jonah had succeeded in shutting it out, but his restful peace did not last for long. The captain of the ship came to Jonah and said, "What are you doing? Sleeping? Wake up! Call out to your God! We're all about to die here!" This was a rude awakening, if anybody ever had one. As I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be nice if the Holy Spirit prompted us like this? You know, we might receive a slap in the face once in a while, very rarely, from God saying, "Wake up! Stop running from me!" But mostly, the Holy Spirit is a still, small voice in our minds that gets overpowered by our own boisterous whining and complaining. We often tend to drown it out with a lot of selfish clamor. And so we need to listen. We need to listen carefully to what God is saying to us through sermons, through Bible study, and the still small voice of God's Spirit that prompts us. Jonah was rustled out of his sleep, and the people on the ship then came together, and they agreed upon a means to find out why this was happening to them, why this was going on. And we'll pick it up in verse 7. "And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." Now these people must have either had direct insight into the situation, or it was very obvious that their ship was being singled out amongst the waters. Can you imagine being in a ship and looking out a mile away and seeing calm waters and blue sky, and yet all around your ship there's waves smashing up against it and pushing it and tossing it back and forth? It would be very obvious that some spirit being, some great and powerful God, is is after this ship and after somebody on it. Then they said to him in verse 8, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" They wanted to know Jonah's story. They wanted to know what was happening, why this was happening, and I assume at this point they wanted to hear the abbreviated version. In verse 9 it says, "So he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who had made the sea and the dry land.'" And Jonah then went on to sum up his story and how he had come to this ship and how this deadly storm was brought about against them. In verse 10, it then says, "Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?' For the sea was growing even more tempestuous. And he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me.'" Jonah knew he was wrong, and he knew the importance of God's instructions to him. And not only so, but how he should have listened to God and obeyed him in the first place. But he was so depressed about the whole thing and feeling so low about it that he could not even muster up enough energy or courage to throw himself overboard. Instead, he told the other his shipmates to throw him overboard. He may have been sorry for his mistake and was now willing to suffer the consequences, but he could not bring himself to do it. Instead, he told the other men, "Throw me into the sea, and the waters will be calm, because I know I am the reason of this storm." Now, whether the men pitied Jonah or not is unknown. Maybe they had compassion for him, I don't know, but they didn't do as Jonah had said at first. In verse 13 it says, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them." The efforts to bring the ship to safety were profitless. And here is another important lesson for us. We must realize, brethren, that it is futile for us to resist God. We can row as hard as we want. We can run as fast or as far as we can. But if God is working with us, and if we desire Him to continue to work with us, and to be a part of our lives, we must give in to Him. Ultimately, we cannot run from God. There's nowhere to hide from God. The scriptures say to resist the devil and he will flee from you. We are not to resist God. If we do resist him long enough, he will stop working with us. And this is something that we should truly be afraid of. We should be afraid to quench the Spirit. The scriptures say the Spirit can be quenched. We need to be afraid to break or damage our relationship with our Creator. The scriptures also tell us to fear God. That is to respect, to revere, to admire, to stand in awe of Him, to love Him, and to obey Him. He should be irresistible to us. So why, then, do we run from Him? What exactly are we afraid of? What is it that makes men and women flee from His influence and from His instructions for us in life? I believe that our resistance to God is from a fear of the unknown. And what I mean is this. Us, we know. As I stand here before you today, I know me. I know what I'm like. We know ourselves. We're quite familiar with all our traits, our habits, our qualities, our strengths, our weaknesses, and we are comfortable with ourselves. But what we will be like if we give all of ourselves to God, this is a mystery. Sure, we're willing to give pieces of our lives over to Him, but some parts are hard for us to hand over to God. And it's because we are afraid of what we will become, because we don't know what being like God is. Now, we might think we want to be holy, we might feel we want to be righteous, and maybe we do, but we do not know what that's like. It's unfamiliar, and therefore it's uncomfortable. And this scares us. There's none righteous, as the scriptures state. We can do righteous acts, yes. But it is an unknown to be righteous, and this frightens us. And this fear triggers the fight or flight response and often causes us to cave into sin and to flee from God. We should not be afraid of this. We should not be afraid of God molding us and shaping us. We should not be afraid of change. We should desire it. We should be preparing ourselves every day so that when we're exposed to the more difficult challenges in life, we will not run from God, but we will accept the challenge to overcome. The man on Jonah's ship knew what they had to do, and they were now willing to step up to the plate and throw Jonah into the sea, but they also realized that God had a hand in this, and they feared the Lord. They did not want Him to punish them for a possible mistake. And so it says in verse 14, "Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah, and they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. The waves settled, the harsh wind became calm, the thrashing about of the waters around the boat slowed to a gentle roll, and Jonah was then swallowed by a great fish prepared by God, where he miraculously died and was brought back to life 3 days later on dry land, given a second chance to do God's bidding." Jonah may have repented for his sin. He did have a change of heart, and this pleased God, and here lies another important lesson for us. When a storm is raised in our midst, the difficulties, the trials of life, nothing will turn it into calm like parting with the sin that possibly brought about the tempest in the first place. When we do not give in to pride, to selfishness, and we do not flee from correction, but instead fight the devil, we fight for righteousness. Battles are not always physical. In fact, they're usually spiritual in a Christian's life. As the scriptures state, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness, as it says, in high places. Consider this also. Christ's temptation was a battle of wits and will, a mental struggle, fighting for a crown of golden character and perfection. Sometimes we may run from God, but we must turn and repent and run back to Him. Never give up, never give in. And with God, we can eventually succeed. A famous football coach, Vince Lombardi, said this about his team: "The Green Bay Packers never lost a game. They just ran out of time." We should also have this kind of attitude. You know, we might not always seem to be successful in our endeavors, and it's inevitable that we're going to sin. It will happen, but never stop trying to overcome. Move forward always, baby steps if need be, but never quit. Like Jacob wrestling with God all night long, we too must never give up and run from the fight. Plant our feet in the Word of God, in this book that sits in your laps, and hold our ground. We can win with God and if we have the will to fight. After Jimmy fled from the attack on his unit in Fallujah, he stopped running about a half mile away and he sat in an alley, crouched down, trying to catch his breath. As he came to his senses and the reality of what had just happened and what he had done, he knew that he had let a lot of people down. His comrades, his teachers, his parents, the American people. And most importantly, he realized that he had let down himself. Jimmy had a lot of time in life to get ready for this moment. The exercises and the training that he received before his deployment were more than enough to get him ready for this confrontation. But Jimmy realized there was something missing from all of this, from all this preparation. And that was that Jimmy didn't internalize any of it. He never really cared enough to make this mission a part of his life. He never gave all of himself to the cause. And this was the story of Jimmy's entire life. After the gunfire had stopped, Jimmy got up and slowly made his way back to the command center. As he neared the secured area, he saw members of his troop gathering together, reassessing their gear and the situation. Walking amongst his fellow soldiers, some of them mumbled and gave Jimmy some dirty looks. Jimmy went straight to his commanding officer, and he began to tell him how sorry he was for his actions. He explained to him how he realized what a huge mistake he had made, and he pleaded with him, promising that if he could just have a second chance, this would never happen again. His sergeant looked at Jimmy, and he told him how that he had let his fellow soldiers down, and he had put people's lives at risk. But he saw that Jimmy not only was aware of his mistake, but he was truly sorry and that he wholeheartedly wanted to make it right, wanted to make this better. He gave Jimmy another chance to prove himself. And Jimmy never forgot that day. And he never forgot the second chance his sergeant had given him. And Jimmy did prove himself. He proved himself time and again for 2 years in the Middle East. Our time has come to prove ourselves, not just to others, but to God. Will we stand true? Will we hold fast? Or will we give in and run? If we are running, let's stop. Let's repent. Let's turn around and go back to God and let's make things right. And let's prepare each and every day for our battles against Satan, against this world, by living by every word of truth. And when God speaks to us, let's listen and let's do it. Not resisting, not running from Him, but instead fighting the good fight to obtain a crown of life in the kingdom of God.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you found the message beneficial. If you would like to know more about the Eternal Church of God, we would like to hear from you. You may contact us at 1-800-723-6108. We also invite you to visit our website at eternalcog.org. Once again, thanks for listening.